Not only must you know what you want, but you must really want what you want if you were to get what you want. My earliest memories of studying for exams go back to early high school, when most of us start to take exams a little more seriously. I can't remember what study methods I had back then, but I do remember what my motivation was. My father used to say to me, "If you don't pass your exams, then I'll put you to work in a factory." I guess you could say that one of the first things to motivate me was fear, and this seemed enough to keep me in the top classes throughout high school. I remember each year in high school that there were always a handful of students who seemed to do extremely well in their exams, but didn't appear to study too much. They always seemed to have lots of time for sport and recreation, and were at the beach during the summer. They approached exams almost casually, yet did very well. This puzzled me until much later in life, when I realized it wasn't how hard you study, but how smart you study. When I look back at my old study techniques, I wish I had known this at the time. Even though my study techniques were questionable, I did manage to get good results, good enough to gain entry into a university. Although, as I mentioned, fear and hard work was probably the main reason for success. I had just turned 17 and was at an age where, like most students, I felt I was now able to decide my own future and wasn't going to be pressured or pushed into a career by my father. He wanted me to do dentistry, but although I didn't have a definite choice in mind, I wanted to make that my choice. I wanted the motivation to be positive, not negative. It's very difficult at 17 to know that your choice of a career is in fact your own. It may be strongly influenced by your parents' hopes and dreams, and perhaps their own unfulfilled ambitions. It may also be influenced by the choices made by your friends and peers. Some students make decisions based on income and prestige. I didn't have a strong focus, but at that age, not having had travel or work experience, I decided that the career I chose should be enjoyable and fulfilling. For many years, I watched a documentary series on TV made by a man named Jacques Cousteau. You may have heard of him, or his son, who is still making programs about the sea. I always loved the sea, and in fact, to this day, I live on the seashore where I can go to sleep listening to the waves. I felt I should rely on my instincts and feelings, and after a lot of thought, I decided to become a marine biologist. This involved doing a Bachelor of Science for 3 years, with the prospect of further study in Queensland, Australia, or the USA. I remember being very excited that I had at last made a decision about my future, and that was my own decision. Unfortunately, fate had other ideas. One day while I was skin diving on a shipwreck about 500 meters offshore, I found myself being stalked by a large shark who seemed very hungry because it kept circling me in smaller and smaller circles. While it was doing that, I was slowly swimming closer to the shore until it was too shallow for the shark and it swam away. The whole episode felt like a dream, but unfortunately it instilled in me the fear of being in water deeper than waist high. I guess I should have gone back in the ocean straight away, but I left it too long before I realized I wouldn't be a very good marine biologist if I couldn't go in the water past my waist. Added to this close encounter, as a part of the course, I found myself counting mosquito eggs in the local swamp and ended up scratching more than my head about whether I'd made the right career choice. So much for life as a marine biologist. Well, having lost direction, I decided if I couldn't make up my own mind about what I wanted to be with any commitment, then I should at least listen to the voice of experience and do what my father suggested, which was dentistry. I remember thinking that after nearly becoming dental plaque for a shark, it was probably a sign, although the thought of causing pain all day didn't appeal to me. I wasn't accepted for the course anyway and was told to apply again when I had finished my science degree. As you can imagine, I'd lost motivation by this stage because there were no goals associated with completing my degree except getting into another one, a direction I wasn't keen to pursue anyway. I didn't have an effective study method to supplement my lack of motivation, and as a result, I scraped through each year. Then in my final year, I experienced the fear of all students. I failed one of my subjects. I knew I wouldn't get into dentistry now, not that I wanted to in my heart, and I had the choice of dropping out of the university as a failure, or at least completing what I started. I chose the second option. Another year went by, and I completed my degree with average results and a failure recorded in my third year. One of my final year subjects was microbiology, and I decided to at least try to make use of the 4 years I had spent studying, although a career as a microbiologist wasn't what I had in mind. This was just as well because microbiology didn't have me in mind either, and I wasn't successful getting employment in this profession. I spent most of the year following my graduation working in retail positions, wine bars, and picking grapes. I had reached the depths of depression, knowing that my friends were pursuing careers as doctors, architects, and lawyers. My parents were disappointed in me, and I had wasted 4 years of my life. I felt like an absolute failure, reaching a point in my life where I felt completely lost and without direction. Even if I had direction, I didn't know how I would have the means to follow it, and at that point in my life, I felt I had truly reached a crossroad. I was either destined to be what I considered a failure, or I could pick myself up, dust myself off, and start again. This is exactly what I did. Often out of the depths of depression, one obtains renewed motivation. I decided to be practical and choose a career with a reasonable guarantee of employment and with a good income. I came up with the idea of being an optometrist after a chance meeting with an old school friend who was practicing as one. It certainly didn't appear to be as stressful as dentistry, and it was only a 4-year university course, which was very appealing as I only had enough money to survive 1 year of university anyway. I applied and was accepted, and as a bonus, I was exempt from the first year, as it was similar to the first year of my science degree. Here was my opportunity to have another try for success. I had to move to another state and decided to live on campus in order to reduce distractions. I knew that if I failed 1 year, it would all be over and I could go home a disgrace. So I had the motivation, but very little money, and I lacked an effective study method. These last two things could still cause me to fail. Remembering students who were motivated but who studied hard instead of smart, I decided to examine my study methods. All of that motivation would go to waste if it wasn't harnessed effectively. I decided to worry about my finances when I finished the first year. The system of study I devised was the result of asking myself some basic logical questions and learning from my previous mistakes. It also involved researching the available information on how to study. I found very few suggestions which were practical. In other words, it's one thing to make an observation and another to be able to put that observation into practice. I took what I could and integrated it into the framework of information, which eventually became my system for studying for exams, which I eventually called Studying for Exams Made Simple. When I put the system into practice during my first year of my second degree, the results I obtained exceeded my wildest expectations. I achieved nearly straight distinctions, also called A's, 100% in 3 out of 4 psychology papers, and I was given a scholarship for 3 years of study from one of the largest private optometry companies in Australia. My financial worries were over because after having only just put my study system into practice, someone was going to pay me to finish my degree. Not only that, guarantee me a highly paid position when I graduated. All this because I had spent some time seriously thinking about the most logical way to study and had stuck to the plan. This was probably the most significant turning point in my life, and I attribute all my current success to that time period in my life. Exams no longer appeared to be an obstacle causing fear and anxiety. They became more of a challenge, something I'd convinced myself I was good at and with which I felt comfortable. One of my lecturers even remarked on one of my psychology papers, "It's really gratifying to find out at least one person can understand what they were asked to do," and I was beginning to think that it was an impossible task. A similar course of success continued through the remainder of the degree until my final year. I received the greatest thrill of all, an academic prize for the best performance in one of my final year subjects. The feeling was unforgettable, made even more memorable when compared with the results of my first degree. I had turned my academic results around from failure and disgrace to incredible success just by using the system of study that I'm about to describe to you. After working for the company, which provided me with a scholarship allowing me to complete my degree, I decided to travel around the world. I spent a year and a half in Africa practicing optometry in black townships. Following this, I traveled through Europe and for 6 months lived and worked in Germany, the country of my ancestors. After returning to Australia for a brief period, I headed for Hong Kong and decided to establish an education consultancy which would operate through Asia. I represented private colleges in Australia and toured through China and nearby countries, lecturing on the benefits of studying in Australia. China was particularly exciting because giving a lecture there was like performing in a pop concert. I expected a handful of students to respond to the advertisement I had placed in a newspaper in Guangzhou, informing them that I'd be lecturing on a study in Australia, and was quite shocked when a large crowd turned up. They were so keen to hear about the education in another country. Through this extensive contact with students, I found myself discussing how I had studied for my exams, and this inspired me to document the system. I was further inspired when I realized that many students could achieve so much more if they learnt to study systematically and logically. The motivation that many students have is wasted because it is applied to inefficient study techniques. If you're motivated and you apply the system of studying for exams which I'll describe to you, I see no reason why you can't experience the success that I managed to achieve. It's in your hands. So let's get on with describing the system so that you can put it into practice straight away.